Welcome, everyone, to Dallas Hoops Fancast, a podcast for Mavs fans. I'm your host, Sydney. I'm here with my co-host, Martin.
What's up?
And I just want to say that Seth Curry is my true hero.
Of everybody on the earth, Seth Curry
is... He's my true hero because he's the first free agent that signed with the Mavericks.
That's not actually true, but okay.
Well, I mean, he's the first, like, non-Mavericks free agent that signed with the Mavericks.
Well, we got Monte Ellis.
No, I mean this summer.
Oh, this summer. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so gotcha. He's my true hero. Yeah, so free agency is underway. You know, I'm happy about Seth, but I am still kind of upset that we didn't get Derrick Jones Jr.
Let it out. Let it all out.
I'm upset about the Derrick Jones Jr., though. Like, that one hurts. Because That was like, when I saw that deal come out, I was like, only if we get Derrick Jones Jr. Because if we don't, I'm going to be so upset. And then when it came out that he wasn't a part of it, I was like, kill the deal. And I'm glad they did, because why would I want Goran Dragic? So anyway, that one hurts. Okay. Free agency is underway. We've been waiting to record this episode until something gets... settled, but just like Danny Green, we're tired of waiting. We're actually going to talk about Danny Green, speaking of which, to kind of go over like what's happening. His friend, he's been friends since like 15 years. He was on 105.3 The Fan today and gave us a lot of insight into what Danny Green is thinking. And so we're going to dig into that, just in case you missed that interview, because you probably did since it was during the day. But first of all, thank you everyone for listening. If you're not following us on Twitter, you can follow us there at Dallas Hoopscast and on Instagram at Dallas Hoops Fancast to get updates about the show, to make sure you don't miss an episode. And if it's your first time listening, thank you very much. Consider subscribing. And that's it. That's all I wanted to say.
You know, I thought we were going to.
Most shows do like a really long intro. And so that was really short.
Okay.
But really, thank you for listening. I mean, I think that's warranted. So yeah, the one thing that we know right now is that Seth Curry signed with the Mavs. And I'm really happy about this one. Like, even though it's not a huge splash, get it? Splash. I need to take a nap. Okay. Even though it's not a huge splash, it just made me like really happy inside because
we got somebody.
Well, not just that, but because I liked Seth Curry.
Yeah, me too.
And if I remember correctly, when we went through our list of guys that we wanted, Seth Curry was on my list. Even though he's not like a superstar, he was really good for the Mavs. Worked well with Carlisle's system, especially now that they have Luka. I think that makes even more sense because of his shooting. It makes me happy. I'm not totally satisfied with the offseason the way it's gone so far, but I am happy they got him. I'm glad he came back. I don't think they ever should have let him go.
Yeah, he was not very high on our list because, you know, you have players like Kemba and Malcolm Brogdon and all that. But he was on there as a kind of a fallback. Now, we were hoping that he would be signed along with a bunch of other guys.
Yeah, like towards the end of everything.
We got him, you know, and I'm happy too. I think it's, you know, we were talking, I think Malcolm Brogdon would have been the perfect fit next to Luka because of his defense, his shooting, and his playmaking ability. But if I were to design...
like a plan B.
Plan B would be Seth Curry.
Yeah.
So is Seth an opening day starter for you?
Yeah. So a lot of people were talking about this. If... you know, with Danny Green, who do you start? Seth Curry. I'm going to want to say Seth Green.
Yes.
Because I'm going to mix them up. Do you start Seth Curry or Danny Green? And I think you start both.
Yeah.
Because in whatever order, Curry, Green, and Luka, they'll cover positions 1, 2, and 3. And obviously, Luka is going to be like the point guard. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he'll start there, but he'll be the primary playmaker. And then Curry and Green will cover the wings defend the guards. So, yeah, I think you would start both. And especially if they don't get Green, then, yeah, I'd start Curry.
Yeah, I think you definitely start him. There was somebody did a survey. I think it was I don't know the name, so I don't want to say the wrong one. But they did a survey. Who would they rather have start, Jalen Brunson or Seth Curry?
Mm-hmm.
And Jalen won that.
Oh,
and I was a little surprised. Now, to be fair, Jalen did have a pretty good rookie year.
Yeah.
And Seth had an okay year last year. Mm. But, you know, I think because of Seth's shooting ability, I think he's got to be in that starting lineup. And plus the Mavs' depth right now. Now, you could use him as a sixth man because we have zero depth.
True.
But I think he fits better with Luka, Danny Green on that starting lineup because of the floor spacing ability. Now, this is all contingent if we get Danny Green. But, yeah, he's definitely an opening day starter for me as well.
Yeah, I mean, and just for his career, his three-point shooting, he's proven to be a very good shooter. Yeah, Bryson had a good year, and I don't know, he might grow from that. But Curry just has proven. Like, last year, well, for his career, he's shooting 44% from the three-point line, 45% last year. With the Mavs, he shot almost 43%. That was actually a career year in terms of scoring and rebounding just across the board. So, yeah, I mean, I would say start Curry just because you know what you're getting, and I think he fits with Luka.
Yeah, let's imagine then that they got Green. Then my starting lineup is Seth, Green, Doncic, Porzingis, and I guess Powell. Now,
there's also rumors that they might get Marcus Morris.
Yeah, but and I still think the Mavs want to run Porzingis at the five. Well, I don't have any sources like a lot of our Twitter folk. Yeah, but if I were the Mavs, I would want to run Porzingis at the five only because in today's league, you can't have too many slow guys on the court at the same time. And but Dwight Powell might be mobile enough to guard the other team's fours, and Porzingis plays the five at center. But if they got Marcus Morris, and I think Morris would be the four and Porzingis would be the five, and then you're really spreading the floor. But the Mavs do like having an alley-oop threat, guy that to lob the ball up.
So and Powell,
probably be the opening day starter.
Yeah, so I'm happy about that. I'm happy about getting Seth. And it was on a really good deal. They didn't overpay too much for him. I'm glad they brought him back. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make the offseason like a win for me. But if they were gonna
bring nice way to
like okay, I'll put it this way: if they were gonna bring in some rando guy that wasn't on everyone's list, Seth Curry is the one that I'm happiest with.
Yeah,
I'd rather have him than like freaking Jamichael Green or something. You know,
who apparently the Mavericks are interested in.
Yeah, I mean,
now,
like
all of a sudden.
You know, if I were to look at it objectively, like quality wise, they're probably the same. I mean, Curry, a career year, he averaged less than 13 points. Like. So it's just my opinion, I like him.
But Curry brings more than just points. Like, because of his three-point shooting threat, it opens up the offense so much more. And likewise with Danny Green. Danny Green's not a big points-per-game guy. Now, he can have a game where he has 25 points if he gets hot and the other team's defense sucks and they leave him wide open. But both him and Curry is mainly about spreading the floor with those three-point shooters to open it up for Luka and Porzingis so they can carve up the defenses. But back to your point about the free agency, you know, as we sat there and watched player after player
everybody,
after player.
I mean, it was like before, so it started at 5 p.m. Central Time. Before 5:05, I think every guy that we really wanted was gone. And then Brogdon went later, but Bogdanovich just went straight to the Jazz. And I was like, man, did we even get a meeting with him? Like, he was on my list. Tobias Harris, apparently they were never even interested in him. Mm-hmm. Brogdon went. And then Patrick Beverley, they never even had a call with him, which I think...
That one confused me a bit. And I wonder if they... Because, I mean, all indication was before free agency that Beverley was going to be a Maverick.
Well, and he was the guy.
Yeah.
He was the guy that they wanted.
And it would have been a great signing because he's a 40% three-point shooter, and he's an he's listed as an excellent defender. I don't really know if he is or not, but he's very pesky. And then all of a sudden, he's going back to the Clippers. We didn't even call him. So I wonder if, at that point, they had already knew about Seth. They had already worked a deal with him. They just hadn't gotten the finalization, and they were going to go with Seth over Patrick Beverley.
It's possible.
I don't know, but it's just weird that...
It is weird.
You know, and then to your point that, you know, this whole week has been... Wait, what's today? Today's Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Okay, so it feels like free agency has been going on for a week.
I know. It has been going on for a week.
But we didn't sleep Sunday night.
Yeah.
Because we were checking Twitter every 5 seconds.
And nothing happened.
Disappointment.
That was just a waste. Yes, one guy, I had just gone to sleep.
Yes. Another guy gone. And then all day Monday, nothing. Mavs just sitting there. Well, then finally, signed,
yeah,
Seth and Curry. We were like, yeah. Could have had Bogdanovich, Brogdon.
I mean, we could have had Derrick Jones Jr. Like,
yeah. So
that
I don't
trade
know.
Was
yeah.
just bizarre. And I don't know if the Mavs, like, it looks like the Mavs just completely, it was embarrassing for them. But I don't know if it was really them or if it was the Heat. Like, maybe something just fell apart and the Heat didn't want to look bad, so they just threw out some trash to make the Mavs look bad.
The only thing, like, because it was a disaster.
Yeah.
And how you get that confused, Goran Dragic or no, like, do you not talk about the player? I mean, how does not everybody yeah. not on board how, with, yeah. with that? So either somebody was going to make the trade and they backed out and they blamed the other team with miscommunication, or there really was a miscommunication. Now, it could be the Mavericks do intend to trade for Dragic, and his name was like, hey, we're going to trade for him. Yeah. And Miami was like, okay, put him in the trade, you know, and then all of a sudden,
that's how
yes.
Pat Riley talks.
So maybe after the Mavs finish all their signings, they can use that trade exception for Dragic.
I don't think they can do that. I think with the cap space, it's either
then Courtney Lee.
Yeah.
I mean, they can do the Courtney Lee yeah. situation.
I mean, I think that's kind of dead. The rumor was that they didn't want to take on his salary, which, I mean, it's only 1 year, but I get it. You wanted to make other moves.
But
I
again, under, like, that doesn't mean...
What other moves?
Yeah, it does. Well, what if they got Danny Green?
I mean, now we know.
If they got Goran Dragic, they don't get Danny Green.
Yeah.
So what if they wanted Dragic, just not right now.
Yeah.
And there was confusion on the timing of the trade or when Dragic was going to be a part of the trade. And Miami just got confused. But something went awry and both teams blamed each other.
Yeah, but I want to talk about Danny Green.
Okay,
because
let's talk Danny Green.
Yeah, everything else about free agency, everybody's frustrated. Like, that's, we all know that. Mm-hmm. That's not new. But what is new is... So now there's this idea that the Mavs could get Danny Green, and Danny Green's friend, who is also his co-host on their podcast, he's been tweeting a lot about Danny Green and the Mavericks. And so 105.3 The Fan got him on the phone and did this, like, really, it was just a really good interview, a lot of good details. And they just asked him, like, you know, you've been tweeting a lot about Danny Green and the Mavs lately, like, what's up with that? And he just said, well, I've been tweeting a lot about the Mavs because Danny Green is thinking a lot about the Mavs. And I'm going to go over, like, some high notes from the interview. So first of all, he doesn't know where Danny Green is going. He's just really close friends with him. He knows what he's thinking. I think he probably knows what the offer is. It sounded like mm-hmm. he knew what the offer was.
And he could have known at the time, but it just couldn't
Maybe,
announce it.
Yeah. Yeah. But he at least knows the Mavs have made an offer. They've had, it sounded like a pretty detailed meeting, and so his information seems pretty reliable. He said that Danny Green was originally going to wait on Kawhi before making a decision, but as time goes on, he's kind of changing his mind about that. He said there's a part of him that still wants to wait, but seeing the offer that's in front of him from the Mavs, he called it a tantalizing offer. He's kind of changing his mind on waiting. He said that Danny Green's Twitter bio says he gives respect to those who respect him. And so this guy, his name is Harrison, by the way, this guy said that the offer is a very respectable offer. Like, it shows mm-hmm. that the Mavs really respect him. Mm-hmm. And he also mentioned the responsibilities that Danny Green would be given would also show a lot of respect. And so, first of all, before I go any further, the offer. He called it tantalizing. He said it was very respectable. If you had to guess, what do you think it is?
My personal guess, 4 years, $60 million. I mean, that's $15 million yeah. a year. It's long-term. For a 32-year-old, he's not going to get that anywhere else because, you know, he's just he's a specialty guy.
He definitely wouldn't get that from the Lakers or Clippers.
Or Toronto.
Well, yeah, true. Well, could he, since it, I since mean, they Toronto could, is re-signing him.
They could, but if they lose
you're
Kawhi.
You're saying they won't.
Well, if they lose Kawhi, then there's no point for them to
well,
re-sign him.
Well, he won't
him.
Go yeah, back. Exactly. Yeah. So he wouldn't get an offer like that from the Lakers or the Clippers. I think from them it would be probably maybe the mid-level or something even less than that.
Yeah, because they don't have the money.
Yeah. If they sign Kawhi, then that's all of their cap space. Yeah. So yeah, $15 million a year. I was thinking, like, since they have $20 million, they have about $22 million, but why not just give him all of that?
Well,
I mean, I guess if it's not necessary.
I guess it depends on the years then. What if it's 2 years, $40 million?
Yeah. Or 3 years.
$60 million. But you don't want to have a 36-year-old...
True.
You know, making $20 million on your roster.
I mean, I'm just saying that based off of what they did with Wesley Matthews, how he had just come off an Achilles injury and they signed him to just a max crazy and they had that for 4 years. Like, I'm not saying
But that was only $17 million. So a max for Matthews was only 17. Even that wasn't $20 million. I can't imagine.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, the 15 makes sense to me. I'm just thinking, like, since he called it tantalizing, I kind of wonder what it is.
I think it's a longer-term deal.
Yeah.
And I think the 4 years, because this will be his last big contract.
Yeah, he mentioned that, especially considering his age. He's 32, is what made it so attractive. Mm-hmm. And so, if it's a long contract, then that makes sense. Okay, so he went on to talk about Danny Green's thoughts on the Mavericks. So I didn't know this. He said that back when he re-signed with the Spurs, he was actually considering signing with the Mavs, but then he decided to go back to the Spurs, obviously. But he said that he had a lot of respect for the Mavs. He said he had great respect for Carlisle, Cuban, the whole front office. Playing with the Spurs, he got obviously see a lot of the Mavs. And so being able to see the player development and the organization, he said that kind of made a difference, that he had a lot of respect for them.
Well, and he has, like, you know, he's not BFFs with anybody on the team, but he knows a lot of the current players.
Yeah, he knows Luka.
Yeah.
Yeah, during the lockout in 2011, Danny Green went to Slovenia and played. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of got to know Luka there a little bit. They're not like you said.
Yeah,
they're not
BFFs, but he knows him. You know,
he also knows Justin Jackson.
Yeah.
Since I think he said he had talked to Dwight Powell, just because, you know, Dwight Powell's Canadian. So they're not like close, but he knows.
Yeah, but
some
I think
people.
There's a mutual respect. Yeah. And I think the way the Mavs approached it, and I'm wondering if the Mavs, he was their prime target.
It sounds like it is because. Let's say all of the quietness is because they, like, genuinely were not involved in any of these conversations. It's possible that they were and they just don't leak stuff.
And the one that they were in, which we think they were in, was Kemba. And that was over before free agency even started. So they had to move on.
Yeah. So let's say all the quietness really was because they weren't involved. Then, yeah, it sounds like Danny Green was their prime target. And again, Danny Green was on my list. Like, I really wanted him.
Oh, yeah. That would have been awesome.
But with
Kemba.
Yeah. I wanted, like, splashier names, but I definitely wanted Danny Green. So I'm not upset that they made him a prime target because he's a lot like Brogdon. I mean, not as good in terms of playmaking. He really shouldn't ever deliver the ball.
Yeah.
But defense and shooting, I think he fits in perfectly with Luka.
And you need guys that don't ever want to dribble because then it's in their hands either for a shot or for a pass. It's never just sitting there.
And then
there.
It's back to Luka.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is what I want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So he talking more about how we respect the organization, he said that playing for Rick Carlisle is something that he would be very excited about. So, I mean, it sounds like he just really likes the idea of coming to the Mavericks. He also talked more about the role that he would play, how he would be a vocal leader. Mm-hmm. He got to play that role in Toronto and he kind of relishes that role is what are the words that Harrison used. Got to be a vocal leader, would be like a veteran presence in the locker room, which the Mavericks need.
They're young.
Yeah. Yeah. So everything he said in terms of the offer, the role, the organization, the team, it sounds like Green just really as a person wants to be here.
Well, and it sounds like the Mavs wanted him over Wes Matthews originally, but he decided to go back to the Spurs, so the Mavs paid Wes Matthews more than you know he should have gotten paid.
He plays for the Bucks now.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I want to see if they post him right up. There.
If they do a post up, Wes Matthews, then there's some conspiracy here. Or like he threatens to kill the entire coaching staff unless he gets a certain amount of post ups.
Unless he gets 5 post ups a game.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, it sounds like Danny Green really wants to come to the Mavs. I think the only thing that's probably the only reason he'd be torn is because with either the Lakers or the Clippers, depending on where Kawhi goes, there's the ring. There's always the championship. There's always a chance for that.
Or Toronto. I mean, if he goes back to Toronto, then they can repeat.
Yeah, exactly.
The good thing is for him, he's already won a bunch.
It's just my thing is, like, it's never guaranteed. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you go, if Kawhi goes to the Lakers or the Clippers or goes back, it's never guaranteed. And if he sees this as, you know what, I've won a couple of rings, I have this great offer, I'm older, it's a long-term offer.
You're going to be good.
Yeah, you're going to be good. It's an exciting team. Is he willing to step away from the chance to maybe win a ring in order to secure his financial future and still play for a good team?
If I were to roll the dice, I would say he signs with the Mavs. If he were 36, it'd be a different story. But
because it would be like his final campaign.
So he would go, you know,
just
championship.
Follow Kawhi.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I think his age, the respect he has for the Mavs, the respect the Mavs have for him, the financial, you know, investment that the Mavs are willing to put, you know, for him here, to have him mentor and to be a 3-point sniper and a defender. I'm going to guess that he comes to Dallas.
Yeah, I just think that he would. Well, this is why he was on my list of players that I wanted. I just think that he's perfect for the Mavs. His shooting, so that gives Luka a lot of options. His defense, because, I mean, Luka's not like a terrible defender, but he's not great. And Curry's not. You need a lockdown defender, and he plays that role. I think he fits perfectly with the system that they have.
And I just feel more comfortable and calm knowing he's out there on the court because he's this veteran presence. He's won the championship multiple times
and has a lot of playoff experience outside of winning a ring.
Yeah, and a lot of big performances by him in the playoffs.
Yeah,
and so just having him on the court with our younger guys, it just makes me feel more comfortable knowing that he's out there. Yeah. So I hope he comes to Dallas, but I can understand the Lakers, Clippers, Toronto aspect of it.
The chance to contend, I mean, you can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Even though, like, he knows better than anyone that it's never guaranteed. You never know what's going to happen, but there's the chance.
And, you know, the Mavs will be good. They're going to be a good team. And if they don't make the playoffs next year, which I would be surprised. I mean, I think Porzingis and Luka alone put them pretty close to a playoff spot. But if they don't this year, within the next couple of years, especially as Luka, if Luka makes the leaps that we're anticipating that he's going to make with his game, then by his third season, they're going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, I don't want to say unknowns, there's a lot of unknowns. So first of all, Porzingis' health. And I know you're totally not worried about this. The Mavericks apparently are not worried about it because his contract is fully guaranteed. But the fact is, he hasn't played basketball in it will have been almost 2 years since he's played basketball once the season starts. That was a major injury. I mean,
well, a torn ACL is not what it used to be.
True, but it is an injury nonetheless. I mean, there's a rehab process and getting his legs back under him. Like, I don't know how long it's going to take for him to be, like, back to normal. And are there going to be any residual effects? I mean, maybe not, probably not, but I don't know. Like, I still am a little hesitant to say that Porzingis is just going to dominate. He's going to average 20 and 10 like he always has. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, obviously, nobody knows. Yeah. Now, I'm confident that he'll be a 20-point scorer next year. I think they may, to start the season, keep his minutes around 30 minutes a game, maybe 32, but I'm thinking 30 minutes a game to help get him back into the swing of things.
Well, he's only going to average 30 minutes a game anyway with Carlisle. The most is 32.
Yeah. He's going to play everybody 32 minutes. So I'm confident, you know, the Mavs, it's widely recognized that they have one of the best training staffs, and Casey Smith is one of the best in the business. And if they are not concerned about his injuries, you know, they are, and they have to do it. They have to sign him, and they do, because you can't make that trade.
Yeah.
And so you got to sign him. But I think he'll be fine. And I think what will help is having Luka be the primary playmaker and scorer to help ease him back
in.
He's
never really had that.
Yeah, there's not a lot of pressure on him to go out there and drop 30 a game to help them win. He's going to have to perform. But it really lands on Luka's shoulders right now.
So there's that. There's Luka. I mean, I'm not concerned about Luka, but it is still only his second year, and so we'll have to see what he does.
I mean, even if he does what he did last year.
Yeah, that would still be...
if that's all he ever did. Yeah. I mean, he almost made the All-Star game.
Yeah, should have made the All-Star game.
Yeah. So even if that's what he puts, is 21-7-6 for his
that's
career.
That's still good,
That's, you know, a really good basketball player.
So there's that just within the Mavs, but then there's other teams who did make a lot of moves this offseason. So the Jazz got some pretty big upgrades. They got Bojan Bogdanović. They got Mike Conley. The Blazers also made some upgrades. The Warriors, so they lost Durant, and of course Klay Thompson's going to be out for a while. They added D'Angelo Russell. So some of these other teams, plus you still have the Thunder, the Rockets are still there. So it's like, yes, the Mavs will be very good. Me saying that they might not be a playoff team, I'm not saying that I think they're going to suck. It's just that there's a lot of good teams in the West.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of garbage teams in the league in general. So these good teams can feast on the garbage teams and then fight each other for, you know, playoff positioning. So I think the Mavs will win a lot of games. I think they're personally going to make the playoffs. I think teams that will be on the outside looking in, possibly Portland. I don't have any confidence.
All they lost was Cantor.
Yeah, but
I've lost
never
Alpha
had
Ruka.
Faith.
No,
in
actually,
them.
That's not true. They lost Cantor, Seth Curry, and Alfa Rukamina.
Yeah,
and three of those were key role players at different moments.
I still think that there's too much pressure on CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard to make every single play. And if one of them is having a bad, we saw it. You know, when Damian Lillard, after that 50-footer game winner to beat Oklahoma City.
He was not.
He was garbage after that. So.
Well, it just because, like you said, he's one of only two options that they have. So it's not
exhausting.
Like he sucked.
The defenses, they can focus on him, and they'll allow Al-Farouq Aminu or Mo Harkless or whatever. I don't know if it was Harkless. To shoot threes.
Or Seth Curry,
So I don't have much confidence in Portland. I never have. I thought it was a miracle. They made it to
the conference finals. That series against the Thunder.
They got destroyed.
The
Thunder.
Yeah, they just balled out. And Lillard,
I think that was more because they got swept the year before. So they went into it.
They were just determined.
Yeah, they were determined. And then Denver is going to be better.
Yeah,
but
Denver. Yeah, they're still there.
Denver still is just two main options, which is Jokic and Jamal Murray.
Yeah, but they have a lot of depth. Really good defense.
Yes,
good
but you got to have guys in the playoffs, and when you're playing against top-notch defenses, you have to have a guy that you can give the ball to and he can put it in the basket. And now, Jokic is the only one that's proven he can do that on a consistent basis.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about the regular season, like making the playoffs.
Yeah, no, they're going to make the playoffs.
And I think it's too early to say that the Warriors are. I don't know who it was that said that he didn't think the Warriors are going to make the playoffs.
The Warriors are going to make the playoffs.
I don't know. I mean, they lost Durant and Iguodala, and apparently they're not bringing Cousins back. But they still have Curry, obviously. Klay Thompson might be back by January or February. And they got D'Angelo Russell. I'm not saying they're a championship team, but they're going to make the playoffs.
But depending on when Klay comes back, for a good chunk of the season, it's going to be Seth. Or Steph. Steph, D'Angelo Russell, and Draymond.
Yeah.
And the rest of their team is
dynamic.
Is weak. And that's kind of what hurt them in the finals. They have zero depth, and they continue to have zero depth. So depending on how long Clay's out, they may not. But I don't think D'Angelo Russell's there for the long haul. I think they got him just as an asset that they can use for trading to get somebody that actually fits their style, which was smart on their part.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. But it's still, I think it's going to be tough for the Mavs to make the playoffs. I don't think that any team that was a playoff team got significantly worse. And I think some of the teams that were at the bottom or on the fringe got better. And so I think it's going to be tough for them to make the playoffs. Yeah, so that's pretty much all we have for now. Danny Green might sign with the Mavs or the Lakers as soon as this episode is over, in which case that would suck. But I was kind of operating under the assumption that he would sign with the Mavs. Not because I think he's going to. I'm actually trying to not get my hopes up, but more just, you know, if he is, it's kind of interesting to see like how he would fit in. But once we know, once everything is settled, the dust has settled, the Mavs have their roster, we're going to do another episode on our normal day, which is Sunday, and we'll kind of preview the season, see who they got, see how things shake out, and then kind of share our thoughts on that. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. Again, we really appreciate it. Seeing the growth has been awesome. And also being able to talk to you guys on YouTube. Again, remember, we post these episodes on YouTube, so you can go over there and actually share your comment, which is pretty cool to get your feedback. There were some pretty interesting comments for our last video where we were really salty. I'm going to be honest about that. When we were talking about the Celtics and how they... I don't know if we said they sucked, but I mean, we're Mavs fans, so obviously we're kind of biased.
Tatum sucks.
He does not suck.
He's Jeremy Lamb.
Okay, and a lot of people had a problem with that.
Numbers don't lie.
Well, okay, so here's one thing that a guy brought out. Jeremy Lamb is a veteran. He's in his prime, whereas Jason Tatum is younger. So obviously...
I mean, he can grow, but as of right now, he's Jeremy Lamb.
So, the great thing about this podcast is that we are Mavs fans and we are completely biased. And I'm okay with saying that. Like, obviously, I try to look at things objectively, and that's why I look at analytics a lot. But I mean, yeah, we're a little biased. So I'm going to say that Luka is better than Jason Tatum, mostly because he is.
Yeah, and I don't think you're going to find many people that argue with that. And the people that will argue with it are Boston fans. But there is no way you can tell me that Tatum is a better player than Luka. Well, but Tatum's ceiling. Tatum's got that. Luka's got a roof.
Anyways, but all of this, I don't want this to discourage people from commenting, because even though like the comments are they get a little heated, it is still interesting to have that conversation, like to hear from you guys, to hear other people's opinions. So feel free to leave your comments, and it's fun to join that conversation, which is kind of the reason why we post these podcasts, is just to start the conversation. So thank you for listening. Thank you for engaging and sharing the comments on YouTube. But that's pretty much it, guys. We'll talk to you guys on Sunday. We'll see you in the next... Every time.
Bye.
Wow.
Just end it like that.
The one time you say bye.
I thought it was a perfect time. Don't even, just end it like that. In this little shop of horrors.